What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Rossler and Derek Ambrosen from the Dynasty Builders Podcast, part of the DLF family of podcasts.
Each week, we use film analysis, rookie breakdowns, ADP, analytic tools,
and a dose of humor
to ensure that you get actionable and practical advice from each and every episode to help you build a dynasty.
Matt, appreciate you jumping on with me, man. All of y'all know every single week, I just jump on after the college football games and talk instant reactions. Like, I don't care about all the stats right now. We got plenty of time to dive into stats and do all of that. But just, like, instant reaction of another week in college football and how we feel about these guys, whether it's the 2022 class, future classes with 2023. We saw some 2024 guys really blow up today. But I got my man Matt Broening. This is somebody that literally, this was not planned. I literally texted him, was like, what are you doing? Do you just want to jump on and talk college? But Matt Broening is one of the co-founders of Campus to Canton. If y'all don't know what that is, who they are, like, you know, I always say that I sort of got my start in Devy and have kind of like just transitioned to prospects. But I always say, the more you know about like next year's draft class and the year after that, like the better you can position your dynasty team to be good, like short term and long term. They're doing what I did like to the maximum, you know, with Campus to Canton. You're focusing on all the guys, like freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, high school guys. And they're the best in the biz at it. So Matt, just kudos to you. Thank you for jumping on. Everything y'all are doing with Campus to Canton, man, dope stuff.
Hey, thank you for having me. You know, I've been a big fan of yours for a while. I've loved everything you've done. So trying to follow in your footsteps, it's not easy to do. But we appreciate all the love that you've given us, not just behind the scenes, but also out to everybody. It means a lot to us, and a lot of the fact of you guys, you just take college football to the next level as well, which I think is better for everybody who loves the college football game. So we're very appreciative of all the love that you give us.
Yeah, man, it's deserved, but. Now that we got all the pleasantries out of the way, what are we doing? What are we talking? We're talking about the games today. And for me, when I think about today, you know, you see I've got the Trojans hat on. Like, what was memorable for me today? It was Jackson Dart, the freshman coming in and in relief of Keaton Slovis. Slovis is a good People don't remember that it was JT Daniels, and then it was like Matt Fink and Keaton Slovis 2 years ago. He was a third-string quarterback that got propelled into a starter's role, and he played really well as a freshman. You know, last season, you could say COVID or whatever, he didn't play as well last year. And then today, it's unfortunate he got a concussion, man. But one of the things, like when, you know, as a Trojans fan, you just kind of learn about these players like little tidbits. Well, apparently, Slovis has had concussion history. Like, this is not... like, this is something that's happened to him in the past, and I think there was an article or a quote that even his mom was reluctant on him playing at SC. Yeah. So to see him get hit today, you know, get the concussion, but that opened the door for Jackson Dart, who, I mean, I'm texting with my buddies from back home, and I'm like, yo, like, go get Mario Cristobal, get the Oregon staff down here to develop this kid. So for me today, Jackson Dart was like the highlight of my day, but I'm pretty sure you've got another young kid that you're going to talk about.
Hey, I mean, I love Dart too. I loved everything he did. You know, I'm excited to see him because USC has so much talent there, right, on offense. Not just the wide receivers. I mean, London was going off today. You were talking about him being like the next Mike Evans. Yeah. And a lot of that was just he needed a quarterback to get him the ball like that. And I love seeing Dart do that. I mean, he can do everything. He was a very good high school prospect, can do everything on the run. So, yeah, I was really excited about watching him today. I mean, I just want to jump off. I'm going to go a little negative right here. I mean, I keep getting told that, you know, these freshmen can't do anything. I mean, CJ Stroud's out here struggling, man. Like, what's going on? I don't love it. And I hate criticizing a kid who's only played three games, but, you know.
Nah, man.
You just talked about Jackson Dart. I mean, look at what he looked like. I have not seen CJ Stroud look like that in three games. Dart has already had more better throws in three quarters than Stroud has had in three games.
I got to ask you this, and you got to be real here, because I know, it may be because I'm insider, but I know you really want to see Kyle McCord. How much of that is factoring into your thinking of CJ Stroud, or is it truly just off of the merit, like what you've seen him put on tape? If he was playing good, you'd say he needs to continue to start, right? Like, I just want to make sure you're objective here, Bruning.
I mean, I'll be 100% honest with you. There is some bias in there because you're right. I've been a huge fan of McCord for a very long time. I think he is the better prospect. I've said that. You know that. We've talked about that. I think he's the better quarterback there.
Yeah.
But it's like 10% because if you follow all the stuff that I say on Twitter, I've never said CJ Stroud needs to actually be benched because he hasn't played bad enough yet. That's the thing. Now, Oregon, you know, I went back and rewatched that game earlier this week, and I went like based on a 1-to-5 ratio on the throws, and I felt like he made more good throws than he did bad throws. But there's still the bad ones are just so bad. Yeah. When you have Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and you can't just dump it off to them. I mean, I was using Bryce Young in a group chat today and using him as an example. Like, Bryce Young probably has the better offensive line, but I think Ohio State has the better group of wide receivers right now and the better running backs with what we just saw from Trevion Henderson.
Yes.
And all Bryce Young has to do is distribute it, and he's doing that, and Alabama is winning easily. Yes, Bryce Young hasn't played in Oregon-style defense like Stroud did last week, but if you go look at the metrics, Minnesota's defense is worse than Miami's, and Bryce Young tore them up in week one. Stroud did not do that to Minnesota. So it just worries me a little bit because the way I look at Stroud is when the X's and O's break down, and maybe this is unfair to him, I'll say, because we just came off of Justin Fields, and Justin Fields is phenomenal. But when the X's and O's break down, I don't think Stroud does anything to win you a game or do something that's going to win you a game. That you've got to have a quarterback who does that. Yeah. You've got 2 5-star quarterbacks who realistically you would think could do that. And I'm not just talking about McCord. Ewers, I don't even care if they throw Jack Miller out there, but next week when they go to Akron, they better be up 20 or 30 going into halftime. And I hope one of those quarterbacks just gets a shot, just to go out there and show what they can do. Because the one thing is, and I don't know how many people know this, I'll say it right now, Stroud's dealing with an injury, and that's not been widely reported. He hurt his shoulder back in the Minnesota game. So I do think that could be playing into some of why he's dealing with the throwing issues. Because, I mean, you saw it in the Oregon game. After every hit, man, he was rotating that arm. And
Here's how I'm going to push back on you, and I'm just going to question you, right?
Yeah.
I, too, me and you both agree that I think Kyle McCord is more talented than CJ Stroud. And what I saw from McCord in the spring game, I was very impressed. But I just asked, do you think that maybe there's a possibility that the reason why they haven't gone to McCord is because he's not ready? Like, he's not? Like, do you think, or is Ryan Day just that stubborn where he's like, that's the guy I said is my quarterback and I'm going to play him? Yeah. Like, what is it?
I don't know, because I have people that I trust that I talk to that are in, I hate saying involved, they're a part of the program that tell me it came down to that last week, that like the last 3 days before that final scrimmage, Stroud started to separate himself from McCord. And what I was told, and I've talked to a lot of my friends behind the scenes about this, Day likes Stroud because he doesn't force the ball in there. McCord very much has that gunslinger mentality. He is not afraid. There's not a throw that he doesn't like when he sees it. Ryan Day doesn't want that. Ryan Day wants exactly what I was talking about with the distributing. He wants to distribute because he knows the team around him is good enough. And I think that hurts Stroud, though, some on game days because Ryan Day is very conservative in his play calling. Yes, people may not think that. Justin Fields, Justin Fields takes the deep shots, and you'll notice you see it a lot more already. What Fields was doing rushing with the Bears in his limited games. He didn't do that much at Ohio State because Day didn't want him to.
Yeah.
I think Stroud is very conservative as well. You can't have two conservative leaders of your offense there and win, in my opinion. So that's another reason why I've always thought McCord was the better fit. Will we ever see him? I honestly don't think so unless Stroud gets hurt even more. Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit of, you know, arrogance and, hey, this is the guy I picked and I want him to succeed. And maybe some of it is behind the scenes. McCord just isn't ready. That part I really can't answer. I would hope that that's the reason and it's not Day's arrogance and being like, no, I picked Stroud. He needs to succeed.
Yeah. But what we can say definitively is Trevion Henderson is the truth, right? Like, he's
He's better than Bijan. He's better than Bijan. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go there yet. But if he does that again, I mean, come on.
I mean, why isn't he? I'm just asking a question.
I mean,
why isn't he
on those runs? And I want to go back and watch him. Obviously, you see, I wasn't in the greatest.
No one can give a good answer to that. Like, why isn't he?
I don't think he has as much. I don't think he has the burst that Bijan does. That's what I was going to say. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it as much. I feel like when Bijan hits that open field, he's gone quicker than Henderson. Like, Henderson beat those defenders to the end zone, but it was a little iffy there when some of those guys were getting up behind him. I think Bijan when he gets up and goes, he goes.
But is he gone? I don't think he's – I know he's ripped off long runs, but he's almost like always caught, right? Like he's never housed one, has he? Like, and I'm just off the top – versus Colorado last year. Yeah. I mean, even that long run versus West Virginia where he did that crazy stuff. Like, I mean, everyone's saying he's got this burst and speed, but – I'm just asking. I don't have.
Okay, you twisted my arm. Travion Henderson's better. All right, I was trying to be objective, but no, I mean, I think he's. I didn't think he was going to be this.
I didn't think he was going to be. I knew he was good, but a part of me is kind of like, is he overhyped? Like I watched Will Shipley, and I think coming out, I think I like Shipley a little bit more. Like going into the process, right? You could just he's just different, man. Like he's different. Yeah. Oh, Austin said he housed a 60-yard or 20. It's about time, Bijan. It's about time you said.
Oh yeah, I did see people texting or tweeting about that he did something. I mean, the biggest one I can think of is that last year, and Austin, you'll be able to tell me, is you're like the biggest Bijan truther out here. It was like a punt return or a kickoff that he just looked great on. They ended up calling it back because of like a holding call on like the opposite side of the field, but again, I want to go back and watch the game because Henderson he looked like he was going to get caught quite a few times. And some of that maybe, again, he didn't play football at all last year. So he may still not even be – I mean, he's not even a year in the Ohio State program. Just let them continue to get that strength and conditioning in and everything. I mean, so, Henderson's going to be legit.
So Jason from Devi Watch, man, Jason D. Renzo, I don't want to say – he tweeted out – I just got on here, and he said, by the end of the season, Travion Henderson will be as valuable or more valuable in Devy formats than Bijan Robinson.
I don't disagree.
I didn't say that. That's what somebody just said. So when I asked you, I didn't say he was better, but I felt like you were holding back, and you can't hold back. If you think he's a better running back, who cares if he's 1 year younger, man? Like, if that's what you think –
when we're talking about Ohio State, I tend to get the bias label thrown at me quite a little bit because I do talk about them quite a lot. So I try to bring reserved more takes so that people look at him like, no, he is that good. So, I love to be the people pleaser kind of guy, right?
Let's go to another controversial topic that I just don't think should be a controversy at all. But we got to see Bryce Young and DJ Uiagalelei play this evening. Clemson escaped versus Georgia Tech. And Alabama escaped versus Florida. Like, let's keep it real. They were stomping them early, and Florida came back. These two quarterbacks are so different in size, stature. You know, DJU 6'4", 6'5", 230, 240. Bryce Young is 6 foot.
Yeah.
5'10", 5'11", 195. But when I watch these two dudes play, I would think that you were flat out bullshit lying if you were like, those are the top two guys. Like, which one do you – if you asked me, like, which one do you like more, and I knew nothing, I'd be like, are you kidding me? This number five is terrible. Like, if I just knew nothing, I'd be like, he doesn't even look like an NFL quarterback. Are you kidding me? It didn't even look like an ACC quarterback. Just looking at them now. Now, we all know because, hell, we were pumping him up to be the best quarterback in college. You know what I'm saying? The surefire number one – picking the 2023 draft, I don't even know if on an even playing field I would take him over Michael Pratt, and they're in the same class. Like, I don't see it. And I know you've had some strong opinions on DJU. He has done nothing in 3 weeks of college football. Nothing. Now you can point back to the 400-yard game versus Notre Dame. You can point back to that. And I asked Notre Dame fan, how the hell did that happen? I mean, he threw for more yards versus Notre Dame last year than any team were able to accomplish. But that dude looks like somebody else because this DJU, he looks terrible, bro.
No, I'm with you. I hate to say that I was looking at my stuff and Bryce Young has jumped him. So I just recorded a Devy Wire podcast for the 32-bit group, and I still talked about I had DJU as my number one because I am always hesitant to move players too quickly. I know what he did last year, and it was so impressive, and I wanted to hold out hope that what we saw against week one in Georgia and how he did not look that good was just because Georgia's defense was just that damn good. And then he goes out there last week and throws for 170 yards against, I don't even know, I'm not even sure it was an actual college. And then he goes out there today and looks horrible against Georgia Tech, who, don't get me wrong, they've got one of the best players in college on the offensive side of the ball. I don't even know who they have on defense.
Yeah,
Bryce Young has to be the one. I think I commented on one of your things saying that I think he's in a tier of his own in all of college football, not just in 2023. He has gone out there and shown he deserves to be the number one quarterback overall in college, no doubt about it. And I don't know if I'd put Pratt above DJU, but I mean, I've got.
Why not, though? Tell me what, like, why not?
I want to see more from Pratt because I do like Pratt a lot. Last year, he was very inconsistent, and his accuracy throwing down the field struggled. I did not see that against Oklahoma. I was hoping to watch that game tonight, but it's still in that weather delays. Yeah, I thought that was going to be it's going to be a great game. If he continues to play like he did against Oklahoma, which he did again last week, then I would do it. I love Pratt, but I want to see more of it. I don't want to take the one game sample.
Let me say this. There's a couple of quarterbacks that I believe in the 2022 class, just in my heart of hearts, they're going to return for their senior season. Jaden Daniels being one of them. I get the vibe that he's going to come back. I don't think he's going to declare from Arizona State for those of y'all who don't know. If he's in the 2023 class, do you want Daniels or DJU right now with how they've played? I don't care about which their high school star rating. From what you've seen on the field in four games from DJU versus a season and a half of Daniels, which quarterback would you take?
I would still take DJU because I think the arm talent's better. And he's got I'm not as worried about Daniel's size as other people are because he's very smart with the way he runs and he doesn't run as much as people think he does. He's very much like, I don't like comparing him to Lamar because he's not, he runs like Lamar is he's smart about it. He gets out of bounds or he slides. He doesn't take those big hits, which is huge. But DJU, I think he's just got the better overall arm talent. So I trust more that if he were to go to a good NFL team that would help develop him a little bit more, we could see more of what we saw last year. So I would still take DJU over
him. I'm going to tell you something, man. There's certain things in football that you just, like, you can't teach. There are certain things in not having your nuts tuck up inside of you when you're sitting in the pocket. That's something that can't be taught. Like, you know, if you are terrified at 6'4", 240, to sit in the pocket and deliver the ball accurately or to tuck your shoulder down. And finally, I saw him run somebody over today. Like, that's not going to change, man. Like that. But you see a lot of these players who just I don't know if I would take Daniels over him either, but I think it's a hell of a lot more of a conversation than people may think because I think there are serious – like, this isn't – say what you want about Clemson. Like, this is – this is DJU. Like, if you're that dude, if you're the number one pick, locked and loaded, top quarterback prospect, one of the Heisman favorites, you need to make it happen. Like, you need to score more than 14 points versus Georgia Tech. You don't need to struggle with South Carolina State, and you should have done something versus Georgia. Like, people were giving him a pass versus Georgia. I didn't give him a pass. Give him a pass. I don't care. You want me to give you a pass for performing poorly against a good defense because that's what you're going to face at the next level. But then you want me to praise you when you throw for 400 versus South Carolina State? That ain't how it works, bro. Like, if you're supposed to be that dude, then you need to do that in those big dude moments. I'm not going to give you a pass because Georgia's defense was hard. Are you – like, what are we fucking
But everybody has a bad game. Everybody has a bad game.
I didn't say it's not okay to have a bad game.
Right.
I said I'm not going to give you a pass – for your excuse that defense was difficult and that's why I struggled. No, I'm not giving any quarterback that defense was hard. So you can only thrive versus mediocre to poor defenses. That's not the guy I want leading my team. So no, I've never said he couldn't have a bad game, but don't give me that excuse that their defense was hard. So he did bad.
I don't even know what to think with DJU. I hate blaming coaching staffs because I agree with you. Like, regardless of how good you are, we'll use the guys that just came out this year, which I don't think we're going to have ever a quarterback class stack up to what we just had. Justin, I mean, I'll go back. I hate going back to Ohio State all the time. Justin Fields and CJ Stroud with what we just saw right there. Like, how good was Justin Fields to do what he did with this team last year? And CJ Stroud can't do even half of it. So I agree. DJU has got to step up and prove it. But I also think Dabo has not done a good job recruiting around him, and their offense just doesn't make much sense. And I've even gone out and said, I do not think Dabo is that great of a coach offensively.
I'm with you.
Like, everybody points back to Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. I'm like, was that maybe because it was Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and not Dabo Sweeney?
Yeah.
So I do worry a little bit about that with DJU because I don't think he's on their level. I think he's a step down then I think coaching matters just a little bit more, and maybe that is affecting him. But it's definitely been a weird season. I just don't know how you can go from looking so good last year against what Notre Dame was a top 10 defense in college to going out and looking so bad this year.
And 3 weeks in, like, there's no more passes now. Like, even if your bad game happened week one versus a good defense, there's your bad game. But then to follow it up with another poor game, and then this one, he literally didn't crack 100 yards to the fourth quarter. That's not good. I'm just going to say that. Yeah. Dude, just real quick, we don't got to spend a ton of time with this, but Spencer Rattler, I'm just going to say I'm not there. I have been very weary all season. Even coming into the season, I was one of the more vocal people saying that I would not, if I'm an NFL franchise, I'm not hitching my wagon to Spencer Rattler. I'm sorry. I'd rather take Thibodeau or Evan Neal and try to catch somebody in 2023. I'll try to get DJU in 2020. I'm not hitching my wagon to Spencer Rattler. All the arm talent in the world. This is his second season as the starter. Just boneheaded mistake at the most inopportune moments every week. And today, Nebraska dared him to throw the ball, and he couldn't do it. He's pegged as this running quarterback. He is not. Like, he's mobile, and he can move, but he's not a dual-threat quarterback. Mixed with the fact – I think I'm out. I'm not out on anyone yet, but –
right.
I'm moving DJ Spencer Rattler. In my rankings, he's going to take a little bit of a tumble after this week, man.
Yeah, he did for me already. He's my QB4 in that class right now.
I had him four or five. Yep.
I'm still holding strong on how he's looking good tonight. I think, you know, going into Blacksburg week one, I'm not going to hold that against him too much. But I've got Carson Strong, Howell. Who was the other one that I had over him? It was Corral. Corral's my number one right now.
Yeah, same.
Not a bold take by any standards. I won't lie.
I'm not gonna sit here and act like he's been my one for life. It happened I'll move my rankings whenever. If I see something that, like, I tried not to, but after what I saw from Corral, because I loved Corral years ago coming out of Cali, but I just was like, dude, he's so inconsistent. He was pretty kind of wildly last year as well. But after week one, I was like, yeah, but I'm with you. Corral is my number one as well.
Yeah, I mean, and as you mentioned, I would do the same thing, but we've talked a little bit about it on Twitter. I don't think the NFL will pass on Rattler because they put so much value on the QB that even though we all agree with that, like we talked about it this year with the Jets, they should have taken Sewell and pass or Fields or Sewell. And pass and try to get a guy this next season, build that offensive line. And now Wilson went out there and had a good game last week, but we saw the offensive line was causing all kinds of havoc. Granted, Becton went out, so that hurts him a little bit. Yeah. But I'm with you. I think that they should, but you know, so Houston, that's just a Houston thing to do. Houston's going to take Spencer Rattler, and they're going to tie their hitch their wagons to him.
That's crazy.
And it's gonna be bad.
That if they do, that's going to be a colossal failure.
Yeah.
Like, Spencer Rattler in Houston is a colossal failure. But I think you're right because can't you just see the storyline going into, like, pro days, Spencer Rattler throwing it behind his back 90 yards, the arm talent, the crazy arm. This quarterback class, I don't think there will be – I've tweeted this many times. I don't think there will be any consensus, and I honestly don't even know if we – will know who the QB1 is until they're drafted. Like, until, like, draft day, I don't think anybody will know. It could be Carson Strong. I'm seeing more and more mocks with Carson Strong at one. But he is, like, the anti-mobile quarterback. I mean, he will get you negative yards in a season. Every season is going to be, like, negative 90 rushing yards. It could be Malik Willis. It could be Sam Howell. Maybe he's the safest guy. I just don't think we're going to have any consensus in this 2022 QB class.
Yeah. if I had to put money on it, it'd be Corral. But I could see Hal going and someone pulling a Cleveland Browns and taking the safe guy in the next Baker Mayfield. I mean, in my opinion, he has the safest floor out of everybody in there. And so maybe that's what they look at. They say, hey, you know, we know what we've got with him. He may not have the upside that a Carson Strong has with his mind, or an upside of Matt Corral if he can put it all together. Even a Malik Willis if he can put it together. But he's safe. We know what we're getting. Let's move on or move forward with him. I'm with you, though. I don't think there's going to be a consensus in that whole the pro days and all that at the combine. That's just going to be it's going to be so much fun to see all that stuff because this class is just so jumbled together.
Any running backs impress you this evening? Besides Henderson, and I don't
can anybody
I don't think
match
we,
what Henderson
I don't think
does?
We should gloss over that. What did he do? 22 for
200. I think he finished third. I didn't have a chance to look it up. They were talking about it on the broadcast.
I think it was 274.
Yeah, I think it was 275. But they were saying like it sounded like it broke Archie Griffin's single game record. But then some were saying he finished third in there. So regardless, he had a historic day against again Tulsa's defense. They were good last year, but they don't seem to be the same defense this year. I mean, outside of that, Bijan looks like he's having a good game right now. Verdell, same as well. I haven't really paid that close attention to a lot of the running backs.
I heard Tank Bigsby look good.
He was looking good. Yeah, when I was watching that, Spiller apparently was looking good as well. I mean, Spiller right now is probably the running back one in that 2022 class. I mean, Breece Hall has really not helped himself with as bad as he's looked to kick off this season. I don't know if he's going to bounce back. He's still holding tight, barely by a thread, is my RB1 because, again, I think he's got that safe floor. I know a lot of people don't. I worry a little bit about Spiller. Just sometimes he's not as physical as I want him to be at that size. He's great. His footwork, we talked a lot about it last year, with what he did with the footwork king, has completely changed his game. There's times I think he could be more physical, and he's not, and he gets brought down a little bit too easy at times. That worries me, but doesn't mean that he can't change it. He's still probably going to be the RB1. I mean, I'm trying to think of who else.
He reminds me of David Montgomery. That's who he reminds me of. Like a less physical version of Monty. Like, and Spiller's going to have that profile. I mean, he caught over 20 passes those first two. I like him a lot. I saw Matt Miller tweeted out today that he said he's got the best NFL pro skill set. And I think he does. I'll tell you somebody that people aren't talking a lot about, Bruning, from the 2023 class. That he's not going to be a first-round pick. He's not going to be a second-round pick. I think he could be like a third-round pick. But he's going to be like, you talk about the next Danny Woodhead type. Deuce Vaughn. I think Deuce Vaughn is going to be a player at the NFL level. Like, he had another nice game tonight. Like, just his skill set and what he can do. He's never going to be a feature back. He's not going to be a three. But just in that role, that Darren Sproles, Danny Woodhead, Eckler light role. I think Deuce Vaughn is going to be a player at the NFL level, bro. I'm telling you right now, Deuce Vaughn is one of those slept on 2023 running backs that I think is going to be a factor in fantasy, especially PPR leagues. Check it out. NFL football is finally back, baby, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Cowboys tickets or Rams tickets or Cardinals tickets anymore because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site, and the only one you'll ever need is your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in purchase price. Listen, I know you want to go to a Cowboys game here in Texas, or you want to go see those awful Jaguars play on the road. TickPick has you covered. Visit TickPick.com/Debbie today and use the promo code Debbie to save $10 off your first order for those Dallas Cowboy tickets or whatever your favorite NFL team tickets are.
Hey, I can see it. I was just looking. Once you mentioned his name, I pulled it up real quick. I've got him 36 overall in all of my college running backs. That's from rank for 2002 all the way down to 2004. So I like him. Some of the 2023 guys, I mean, Brandon Thomas is guys a lot of people are talking about right now. Memphis redshirt freshman. He's having a decent day. And that 2023 class is going to be really good. I mean, Zach Evans, I know they're on bye this week, but last week he really blew up. You still got a guy like, I think you've said you're not really – a big fan of what he's shown, but I still think Kendall Milton can be a good running back. He's just got to get a shot at Georgia, which may not even ever happen. I know, but I still like the skill set. I mean, then you got Marshawn Lloyd, Ulysses Bentley's kind of struggled this year.
Matt, you are hanging out in like 2019 Debbie land right now. You know, Kendall Milton.
Hey, come on, man. He's got the skill set.
Listen. I'm telling you right now, Kendall Milton, there's no shot at being a first round pick. He will be lucky to get drafted on day two.
He'll be a third round pick.
All right,
I believe
You can believe it all you want. We'll revisit this. He will be lucky to be drafted on day two.
I'll figure out a way to hack in and delete this if he ends up getting drafted like the sixth round or something.
But you're talking about the class though. The class is deep. Evans did look fantastic, and that doesn't even account for any 2022 guys that may return for their senior season, you know? So it's just going to get deeper and deeper. Yeah, Tank, 16 for 79, two TDs right now. Not a lot of people talking about Tank, man, but he's right up there for me. He's tier one running back in that class with Jameer and Bijan, of course.
Yeah, I've got him three behind those two. Just because we don't get to see enough of the receiving. I think he's a good receiving back. We saw it a little bit last year, but so far this year, he's not got it. And it's hard to be – you know, Jameer has just got those sexy highlights, and you know a lot of people just go in and look at the highlights. And then Bijan, he's at a known program like UT, and when he does what he does, everybody talks about it. So I think Tank gets a little bit overlooked because nobody really pays attention to Auburn except for to talk about how much Bo Nix sucks. Outside of that, nobody really seems to care about anything with Auburn.
You think Nix has got a shot, man? At the NFL,
I think he can get in the NFL. Not as a starting quarterback. I thought you were gonna go toward like the. People talking about QB1 stuff. That ain't happening. I think he could be a backup. I mean, he's got decent skills. He's just not consistent, at all.
He's just consistent. It's a good point you made. He's got the skills, and that's what separates a starting quarterback from a backup quarterback, right? Because all of them could throw the ball, but it's consistency. Which one of you can consistently throw it, you know, and complete to the receivers? I'm sure we're missing people. We're just doing this off the cuff. There is no show sheet. Receivers that impressed me today, Treylon Burks, to be that big and run that that's insane. Looks like Jahan Dotson's having a night right now, 8 for 75. There was another receiver that balled out today, Drake London. I love Drake London. I'm a USC homer as well, but I think Drake London is going to be a high NFL draft pick as well. That big, that basketball background. Size. What do you think about what were some receivers that impressed you today?
There's one guy that I really liked has had a massive day today, and I was trying to find it. He plays for Memphis, Calvin Austin. He's not the biggest wide receiver. But with what we've seen, the NFL is not afraid to move to these smaller guys, and especially in the slot. This dude is a legit track star. He actually had to walk on to Memphis on the track team, won a scholarship, then came over onto the football team, and you see that track speed on there. I think he had like a 95-yard touchdown reception today where he just was outrunning defenders. He's a kid I really like. Unfortunately, the analytics people are not going to like him because he didn't blow up till that third year, but he had a great third year. He's having a good year right now. He's a kid that I think is going to get drafted probably fourth round, maybe fifth round that could really blow up. Like I said, I mean, London had a really good game. That touchdown Treylon Burks had was just ridiculous. You wouldn't even think he's that big, and then when you see him running that fast, and it shames me that I still have Garrett Wilson over him, but I've got to.
No, don't shame yourself. Jared Wackerly and I had this conversation on Friday because to me it's those two, and I've had Treylon Burks at wide receiver one for the longest, so he's just going to stay there for a little bit. But I did make a case for Garrett Wilson because to me, and I don't like to comp players often. Right. Like, I just don't throw around comps. But Jay Wack and I both agreed. Like, Garrett Wilson reminds me like Keenan Allen. And Treylon Burks, for as much as I love him, he reminds me of a better receiver version but less physical version of the same player of a Laviska Shenault. Like, I think Treylon Burks, because of how Arkansas uses him, he runs the ball, he plays quarterback, he plays tight end, but 97% of his snaps come out of the slot, right? And Traylon's whole game is get the ball in his hands quick and then let him.
Yeah.
6'3", 228, and he's probably going to run like a 4'5". Like, he's just – he's going to be a size, speed specimen. But I think Garrett Wilson's ceiling when I watch him is like Keenan Allen, whereas Burks just – he reminds me of nobody in the NFL right now. Like I said, Josh right. Gordon was probably like – but like a Josh Gordon type player was what I said. But the way they use him is like LaVisca Chenault, not Josh Gordon. So I don't think it is crazy that you have Wilson over Burks. I really think flip a coin and I'll be happy with either of those guys.
Yeah, I love Wilson's route running a little bit more. And the way he is able to create separation sometimes in like such little areas, the way I think some of you guys always word it is like he can create separation in a phone booth. I just love, and his body control I think is elite. I tried not to use that word anymore, but I think he's going to be really damn good.
Am I crazy for having Dotson over Olave as my wide receiver 4 overall for the 2022 class?
I mean, I wouldn't have him there, but you got I don't think anything's crazy.
You got Olave high?
Not really. I think I've got him. Let's see here. I'll pull mine up really quick. So I've got him at 7 right now.
So I'm even more bullish on Olave than you, which is crazy. You're the Ohio State guy. I'm a little concerned too, but I've been talked into him.
And it hurts too because I put Pickens over him, and I don't know what to think with Pickens. Like, I love the skill set, but it's just he hasn't ever. I feel like Pickens is going to end up being one of those guys who like just balls out a couple times here and there, but he just never puts it all together. Yeah. Had the injury this year. I mean, and some of it definitely is on the quarterbacks. We saw him once Jaden Daniels took over last year. He really started having a good season, but I don't even know if he comes out this year, because if he doesn't play, I don't know how NFL teams are going to view him. He's got the skill set, but he's never really produced on the field, so I don't even know if they would take a shot on him being like a first, second-round pick. So then does he come out and not go to the 2023 class? And if he does that, I mean, then you're competing with Kayshon Boutte and JSN. I mean, that's a good class as well, and I think he could get buried in that class.
Yeah, man. You make a good point there. I don't know, man. I don't know. We didn't real quick, Kenneth Walker, to me, is a top 5 back in the class. And he's bigger than I thought. He's 210. Yeah. Like, he's got size to him, right? Kenneth Walker, legit. I got to give Michigan their props, man. Look, they're playing well. This is something I did not expect. I know it's hard for you to say anything positive, but you got to at least – oh, I like this.
They're a football team. That's the prop that I'll give them. Yeah. Boy. Casey Thompson, apparently he loves himself some Xavier Worthy. I saw that. He was Chris Whittington and Jordan Whittington. And who was the other guy there?
Troy? I can't
remember who. Yeah, well, Amiri, I think, has been hurt.
Moore.
Yeah, those two seem to have like now completely disappeared. That card is gone, and it's all just Worthy.
Go deep. Get Worthy the boss. Now, you talk about speed. That's a dude with some speed. I can't get you out of here without talking about Kyren Williams. The Notre Dame people in here will light me up. What are your I look at Kyren Williams and I'm like, what is he at the next level? Like, you know, especially when you're talking about fantasy, I don't know, man. Like, he's a good player. He's just a backup running back. Like, I know they use him in the passing game, but I don't see him being like a third down weapon. So is he just a backup running back that you're hoping that he gets an injury start? I mean, am I too bearish on Whittington? I mean, not Whittington, but Kyren?
Kyren? No, I've not been big on him either. I'm worried about his size. And I know a lot of people say that it shouldn't matter, but we've seen the past couple draft classes, they faded those guys that don't have the size. I mean, look at what Kenneth Gainwell did. You could argue was one of the most productive college running backs, and he didn't go until, what, the fourth round?
I think it was fifth round.
Yeah, fourth or fifth, And Kyren is around his size, and he doesn't have the production. And granted, it's at a better school than Notre Dame, so you can value that however you want. I text Jared about him the other day because he put out his new podcast, and I listened to it. He talked a little bit about Kyren Williams in there. I think his upside is Austin Eckler with what he can do in the receiving game and the way he runs.
That's high praise, man. Like, I think say Austin Eckler, and that's – that's ceiling. That's ceiling.
The one thing I think could help him get on the field is, for his size, he is not afraid to take on any defender when it comes to the blitz. Like, He will light up linebackers, which is insane because, like, we're the same height, definitely not the same build if you've ever seen me in person, but we're the same height. And if I saw a dude like that running at me, I would not try and block him. I would try and trip him or something, but he's not afraid to take those guys head on. So I think that will definitely help him when he gets to the NFL level because that matters. You know, you don't want to see your quarterback getting killed because your running back couldn't pick up a blitz. But I don't know. He's great lateral speed, good receiving back. I just don't know that he has everything to make him an elite back. So I'm with you. I don't really love anybody in the 2022 class. And I, like, everybody talks about Spiller being the best, and I still am not sold on Spiller. So for me, I've literally gotten rid of all of my 2022 picks that I can and just all in on 2023. And of course, that class is going to let me down next year more than likely. And I'm just like dug myself a massive hole. But I've just...
You don't like Charbonnet? I know there's a lot of people who like like Zach Charbonnet?
No.
Why?
He looks better. He looks better this year. I'll give him that.
He looked good as real good as freshman season.
Yes.
Very good. He was one of the top recruits coming out 2019 class, Oaks Christian. Looked great. He didn't play last year. For whatever reason, he didn't play. There's never been a time he hasn't looked bad. He's going to run sub 4.5 at 220. He can move.
He can.
What don't you like about his game?
I don't.
I'm just challenging. I'm
a little worried. I'm a little worried about his physicality. He definitely has the speed. Hey, let me finish. I don't love the UCLA. I think that the scheme that he runs in helps build his stats better than what he is.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I've just got to say it.
Seriously going I'm to sit I'm here and serious. Say that running out of an out of a single back formation and that running scheme helps him, but then lose your shit over Ohio State's running scheme that is open lanes for everybody going back to the beginning of time.
Yeah. And that's in the opponents that they've played. I value the defenses that they played a little bit more. I don't know who's Charbonnet beat or who is Charbonnet run all over? Don't give me Hawaii, who is like 120th.
He ran through some of the Big Ten as a true freshman. He ran through the Big Ten as a true freshman. So there's one thing. He ran through LSU in week two. There's another thing. And he's
LSU's like running through a wet paper bag. I'm just saying. Okay. I could be wrong on Charbonnet.
I think there's so much Michigan hate in your soul.
No, that's not it. I'm glad that he left Michigan. That is great for him. It is so good for him that he left there because now he can show what he truly is. I do think maybe I hold on a little bit too much of what I saw of him at Michigan. It's hard for me to trust that he's as good as he's shown. So that's why I still have him. I think I had him at 23 in my RB rank. So that's still, again, of 2022 through 2024, 23 overall. He might move up more once I see a lot more of him play. It's hard for me to trust that that's really what he is three games in after what I've seen for 2 years. Because you're right, at Michigan he was good at a freshman. Then I don't remember, it wasn't because of an injury, right? They just stopped playing him.
First of all, COVID, I don't even know how many games he was supposed to play. But he had 19 carries last season. 19 carries. But we asked Harbaugh why was Hassan Haskins a converted linebacker? And I know Haskins balled out today. I don't know what happened the sophomore season. I don't know what happened last year with Michigan. All I know is as a true freshman, 149, 726, and 11 touchdowns. And then so far this year on 17 carries, he's got 223 and 4, adding another two receptions. So I'm just asking. I hope you're not truther. I hope you're not a zero white guy.
God, no. Right. Yeah, get out of here with that guy. He's not – I don't understand. I'll be honest. For me, it's not the Michigan – it's the Michigan thing, and for whatever reason, he never really got the job, and maybe that is a Harbaugh thing, right? I mean, we can't rule that out at all. But Haskins has gone out there and looked as good as he has, so that makes me wonder, could he not beat out Hassan Haskins? Maybe. And if that's the case – like, Hassan Haskins is not what we would think is going to be a very good running back prospect when it comes to the NFL. So if Charbonnet couldn't beat him out, and then he goes into UCLA. And what I meant, I should have clarified on the scheme because you're right, it's not, like, difficult. But what Chip Kelly has done for running backs and getting them into the NFL is what I meant. Why it was a great move for Charbonnet to go there. And I don't know that any of those guys have been great when they get to the NFL level. So that scares me. Now, you shouldn't, as you've always said, you're not supposed to scout the helmet.
Yeah. That's fair. I understand what you're saying about Chip Kelly. That's totally fair. I'll get you out of here after we talk real quick about Desmond Ridder, who, and I'll be brief. I know there's some people trying to hype up Desmond Ridder, wink, wink. Desmond Ridder, yeah, I'm just messing with you. I'm telling you right now, you're looking at Kellen Mond, a slightly better version of Kellen Mond. That's who Desmond Ridder is. I like the kid. I love, like, just the way that he plays, his passion. I do think he has a really good skill set. But Kellen Mond has a good skill set as well. I think he's Kellen Mond, a slightly better version of Kellen Mond. I have no interest in him outside of C2C leagues, like as far as like Devy or next year's rookie draft class. I have zero interest in Desmond Ridder. Zero.
When did Mond get drafted? Was it the third round? Fourth round?
Third round. Kyle Trask is a second rounder.
If he's a slightly better version of Kellen Mond, that means it could be a second round pick. I'm all in, baby. I'm all in. All it takes is for him to go out there. I agree. I mean, I like what he has with his arm, and he's not quite the athlete I think he's given credit for, but he is a good runner. He's just – it goes kind of back to what we said earlier with some of the – he's inconsistent. And he doesn't, I think, handle the pocket manipulation very well. I think he takes a lot of unnecessary hits in the pocket, doesn't do a good job of – I like it when a quarterback pulls like the Sam Howell of he gets out of the pocket, removes the pocket – and then still looking to throw, where Ridder, I don't think, always does that. And when he does, it's not accurate. He's not good throwing on the run. But if he gets second-round draft pick, I mean, all it takes – there's a lot of dumb organizations. No, it does matter. There's a lot of dumb organizations out there. And if he gets second-round draft capital and he sits behind – like, let's go back to the Texans. Let's say they're smart and they go, you know what? We're going to take Thibodeau and then we take Ridder in the second round. Tyrod's not going to be back, and you cannot tell me they're going to start – what was the dude's name from Stanford? Davis Mills over Desmond Ridder. It's not. I don't care that he was a five-star quarterback, first in his class, and dude's smart.
Ridder is Kellen Mond 2.0, and he might not get the draft capital. I'll just say that.
If he doesn't get the draft capital, then it'll just be another L that I've taken. But if he can get taken in the second or third round, I think he's going to be – he's going to get a shot, and that's all that matters. Quarterbacks get injured.
You do a good job of playing both sides of the fence, but you got to let that shit go, Matt. Like, you just
I think he's going to be a second-round pick. I've said it. Okay. I really think he's a second-round pick. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Ridder. I loved him since last year, and
Where's QB ranks? Where's he at? If you say he's a top-five quarterback –
not top-five. Okay. When I did mine the other day, I think I had him at 9 when I did that – not 10, at 10 when I did it when I did that podcast. That includes 2022, 3, and 4. I had Quinn Ewers over him, so, you know, that's debatable.
Yeah. No, that's not debatable.
It's debatable. It's still a little bit debatable.
When will you take Arch Manning? 6'4", 215.
I have not seen enough on him to say, because I don't even think he's the best quarterback in his class.
They got him 24/7 as him number one.
Yeah, right, and I'm trying to remember who the quarterback is that is better than him. I'd have to pull that up really quick, because I don't remember the name off the top of my head. I've been all in love with Drew Aller.
This is how you know my people listen to me, because this is such a Ray G comment. Feel free to believe that and draft them accordingly. I'll be fine going a different direction.
Who, Ridder? Hey, I mean, I don't really have to worry about it. I don't really like play in any more dynasty leagues, but I'll be fine taking them. Like I said, it's one of those things where people discount these quarterbacks that I think can be good. It all takes is an injury. He may not give it back. I mean, I understand he's not.
You're right. You're right. The value is you take those players, and because think about Kellen Mond. For a lot of people, the moment if something happens to Kirk Cousins and the moment he's announced the starting quarterback, like, he's got value. And the prudent move would probably be to trade him away before the first game goes underway. But, yeah, I can see Ridder doing that. But, Bruning, man, I appreciate you jumping by for 45 minutes just to talk some college. You have a show coming up right after this. Can you let the people know where they can find you and check out your stuff, because you're doing great stuff in the college space?
We will be live on Twitter, on my Twitter handle, Austin's, which is at Devy Deeds, and then on YouTube at our YouTube channel, campusdecanton.com. The quarterback I was mentioning is Malachi Nelson, 6'3", 180, going to Oklahoma. He's going to be right behind Caleb Williams. Lincoln Riley just continues to produce that QB factory. So yeah, he's the guy that I would take over Arch Manning. But yeah, we'll be live on our YouTube channel. You can find us on Twitch too, at SportsFanaticMB, all that good stuff. Live here eventually. I don't know. I turned my TV off, so I don't know what the game is at. So once that game ends, we'll be going live.
I think it's still the third quarter, and Ole Miss just kicked off. But again, appreciate you. Please check out the Campus to Canton guys. Campus 2, the number 2, Canton.com, doing fantastic work, keeping you one step ahead for your dynasty leagues. Make sure y'all tap into his stream. But I appreciate y'all checking me out. Y'all know I'll holler at y'all later this week, man. I'm out. Peace.